If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Anything that they want to talk about. They'll be going on about politics, about the weather. And I just sit, we talk, we listen. And then at the end, they're like, okay, so this is how much we want. And when can you close it? So we're doing just what other people don't want to do.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jimmy Johnson is the founder of Sand Dollar Communities, which focuses on the sourcing of off-market, direct-to-seller mobile home parks. He has closed 27 mobile home parks in 11 different states. Jimmy also has founded Sand Dollar Communities Management, a mobile home park management firm which manages a growing portfolio of over 1,000 sites across the country. Jimmy lives in Tampa, Florida, and is an avid boater and fisherman. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Man, this is great. This is great. Obviously, mobile homes and mobile home parks are kind of a hot topic right now. And so that's obviously, I understand that's what you guys invest in, but I'd really love to hear where you started, where you are now, and how you got there.
Definitely. Yeah. Like you said, mobile homes and mobile home parks definitely becoming very, you know, hot in today's marketplace. So I started with mobile home parks a little under 2 years ago. And knew kind of what does everybody want when they're looking to, you know, purchase a property and they want the best deal possible. So I figured, how can I kind of enter the park industry and provide as much value as possible? And I'm like, well, deals are, you know, everybody wants them. So started kind of doing all of the typical marketing strategies to start picking up parks, and still doing that today. So just going hard on the park wholesaling side.
Right. Okay. So you guys are park wholesalers then?
Yep. So we wholesale, we've acquired multiple parks, and then we manage as well. So it's kind of, it started with just wholesaling and has, you know, grown into, you know, owner, operator, and then asset manager.
Right. Okay. So let me just make sure I understand your business here completely. You started off wholesaling parks, which I want to dig into that because I want to, you know, for anybody who's starting out, you know, it's kind of an interesting way to learn the business. Of course, I'd love to hear more about that and how you guys got into this niche. And then, of course, even who your first buyer was, like, how did that transaction go? I'm sure that's a fun story. But then you went into the management side. And thirdly, now you're also an owner and operator.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's unpack these, because this I'm sure is going to be a fun kind of journey as you've gone through this. You decided you want to get into the wholesaling of mobile home parks. What did you do?
Yep. So first figured I got to have parks to call. So started to kind of build out the database. And I'm like, I'll start, you know, in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, just because it's within driving distance. I'm based out of Tampa. So started there and literally was just typing in cities on Google and then, you know, like Tampa, mobile home park, Orlando, mobile home parks, and just started calling that way. So that's the, you know, database has grown and, you know, using more technical details of building it now, but that's how I started, just Google search and mobile home parks. So,
and tell me about the first one that said, hey, yeah, I'd love, you know, I'd love to make a deal, make me an offer. How did you even price it?
Yeah. So the first one, the guy actually, we're talking about his one park and he's like, well, if I'm going to sell this one, I want to sell my other one too. So we actually had two parks, 3 hours away. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, now it's like a little portfolio. I've got to do both of these. And these were in Alabama. So we're walking through and I was trying to get him to name the price. He was obviously trying to get me to name the price. And we almost kind of at once both kind of just shot out this number. And we're like, you know, that seems fair, seems right. He was out of state. He's like, I haven't even seen the parks in 5 years. He's like, I just want to get out. And he's like, that's a little bit more than what I paid for him. And, you know, I've enjoyed him, but I'm just focusing on other, you know, other strategies of real estate now. He just wanted out. Then from there, I'm like, now I got to send this guy a contract. I didn't even have, you know, any forms put together yet. So it was like totally from scratch. So then everything was basically, you know, Google was my best friend. I was just putting everything together step by step. And I think he kind of knew that, you know, was just getting going with things, but he was a really nice guy. think it was about 5 or 6 months later. It was a long deal with a lot of moving parts, but then we finally did end up closing that one. So
right. Now, did you buy that or did you wholesale that?
I wholesaled that, both perks, one contract to one end buyer. So they ended up taking down both of them.
How'd you find the buyer and how did you get the buyer to even, you know, come to the same agreement on price?
Yep. So I found them, joined some mobile home park Facebook groups, you know, online forums, and just in like, where are kind of people interested in buying, you know, parks? Where are they going to be? And then I started posting in there, hey, I've got, you know, 2 parks under contract. I, you know, pretty quickly after those Alabama ones, I got 2 others. So I was kind of trying to, you know, push my 4 parks, you know, for sale. And they had just sent me a message saying, hey, we're really interested in Alabama. We've been wanting to buy some parks down there. And then we set up a call, very, you know, personal. And we were going through all the details together. And it was their actually first parks as well. So we were kind of all doing it as one for the first time. And that's how I met them.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So you got that first one closed. You got a payday out of that. And then you had a second one, you know, coming down the line. And that one also, you know, you guys got closed. What has changed from those first couple of deals that you saw and kind of how you, I mean, like, you, from what, if I'm understanding this correctly, you kind of bootstrapped it. You kind of said, hey, man, you know, here I am with Google and we're going to find the parks and I'm going to use Google to find the contracts. And then we're going to bootstrap our way through this. You know, hats off to you for getting it done. But what has changed in your processes from that point until now that, I mean, surely there's something in there. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we used to do it that way.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty much all of it, because it was so it was so time intensive and so unorganized. And so, you know, just I'm like every single thing I'm doing, I think I could do like 1,000,000 times better.
Sure.
But before it was like every part of the transaction was hard. Finding the deal was hard. You know, selling the assignment was hard. The transaction management. So I kind of just, you know, got some big pieces of paper, like the biggest ones that they sell on Amazon. And I'm like, I'm going to just map out every single step of this and then figure out, you know, where needs the most improvement. So I started with the database process, hired some virtual assistants to do that for me and to start, you know, going into the counties to making sure we were getting all the parks and not just ones that were popping up on Google. Then they were breaking, you know, skip tracing the owners, finding their info. So I'm like, okay, I've got that kind of systemized now. Now, how can I get rid of these quicker? And, you know, obviously for as much as possible, as quick as possible. So I started to systemize that, you know, I'm going to put together like an advertising sheet. I'm going to send it out. I'm going to build a buyer's list. And then really just kind of deal by deal, started to build on all that to how can I make this as like enjoyable as possible instead of like a chaotic, stressful, you know, transaction.
Right.
So then started to, you know, build some relationships with insurance providers and phase one providers and just all the different people that were involved in taking one of these down. And then, yeah, just really relationship after relationship kind of built upon it to make it much more smooth, much more easy. And now I look back and I'm like, I can't believe that I was doing them that way. So it's definitely been a long journey in a short amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was just a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, a little under 2 years ago is when I closed those.
Right. That's awesome. So you guys, that was 2 years ago you guys did that. And, you know, since then, obviously, you've made a lot of progress on the wholesale side. Are you guys still wholesaling?
Yeah, that's our primary business model. So we just closed our 27th deal and we have number 28 closing next week. So that's still our kind of core business that kind of feeds the other businesses.
Right, right. So if this is your 27th going on 28, you are closing over 2 a month.
Yep, on average. I mean, there's some months that there's none and then there's others where there's, you know, 4. But yeah, on average, 4 checks out.
Right. Have you built the team that has really helped you get these, you know, across the finish line? Because that's a lot to manage.
Yeah, definitely. So I have one really good virtual assistant from the Philippines, and she like started, didn't know even what a mobile home park was. And now she, you know, knows all the moving parts. So she's been definitely, well, since day one, and she's been so helpful, knows all the nuances. And then recently, I brought on a full-time local employee here out of Florida who they're doing basically operations, primarily overseeing like the management business to allow me to focus more on deal sourcing and relationship building and travel into the parks. So they're handling a lot of the day-to-day pop-up work and stuff like collections and evictions and selling homes and all the, you know, day-to-day stuff.
Right. What's the average size of park that you wholesale?
Average amount of sites is in the 30s. So, you know, we've done a couple, you know, above 50. We've closed one over 100 sites. The one next week is a 120 site park. We've also done some very small parks, 4 to 6 units. But we kind of focus on and try and, you know, specialize in like the 20 to 40 site range.
Gotcha. So these are typically non-institutional size parks that you're able to wholesale. So I'm curious, as you have grown and really, you know, systemized your wholesaling business, you then decided to buy a couple of your own parks along the way. So what is that process like? And can you give us the kind of thinking one way or another between what has caused you to continue to wholesale as opposed to taking these down yourself?
So we're actually partners on 8 separate parks.
Okay.
So that kind of happened with during the process. People are like, hey, really like the due diligence that you're doing, the transaction kind of management. We could tell that you have like a great relationship with the seller, maybe seller financing, and we'd like you to kind of stay involved after closing. So that's kind of how it had first started, because I never really planned to do that. And they're like, how about instead of taking an assignment fee, we'd give you some equity in the deal. So kind of thought about that, ran the numbers, already had a couple done, some have some money in the bank. It could maybe start to think more long term. And then one turned into multiple with one group. Now that's something that I kind of not offer, but for some of the deals, if it's somebody who I really know and I like, and, you know, we want to kind of team up long term, we'll just kind of go in as partners instead of like doing like an assignment deal. So I really like doing that because there's a lot of strategic, you know, ways that we've done it and able to kind of build upon like one group. We have 4 parks all within a couple hours of one another. So now I know if I get one in that area, they're going to jump on it. We already have a, you know, manager and a maintenance guy there. We already have the system. We have all the paperwork in place. So that's, we're doing a lot of that now, just using that rapport with other local owners. They know us. We're using the same contractor. So it's a little bit easier to get some deals in the areas that we've done multiple.
Right. That's interesting. So when it comes to the management side, because you said you guys are now managing these as well. So
yes.
you've grown and continue to grow the wholesaling side. You have your ownership piece of it, but then you also have a management piece of it. Do you manage parks that you don't have an ownership interest in?
Yes. So at first it started with just managing ones that we also owned a piece of, and then that grew, you know, people telling other people, hey, you know, you got to get an asset manager, because everybody's managing the on-site manager. And they're coming to you with everything, the drama in the park, you know, so-and-so's dog is barking. And
right, sure.
This tenant owes $10 and all sorts of little stuff. So like, you got to get out of that to grow, hire a, you know, like a management company. So then word got around that we've started managing just random parks that people have already owned, or they're saying, hey, I'm about to close this next month. I'd like, you know, you guys to come on and manage it as well. So that's been pretty recent as well, within the last year, really within the last 9 months that that's kind of taken off, and managing a lot of parks now. And it's, definitely a business that you have to have the systems in place for, because so much of it is, you know, every month rent is due, every month people are late. So we've really worked on trying to make it as just checklist-based as possible, just save time and to grow.
Right, right. Yeah, that would be a lot, I would think, to develop, would be a management company, especially at that scale. So what are some things you learned? Like you said, obviously systems are one of them, but what are some things you learned in the last 9 months as you've built that out? Like, what's something you got right and what's something you got wrong?
Yeah, definitely wrong was just relying on the on-site managers, just thinking that they are going to do everything. Some of them are great. Some of them, you know, are still learning. But in the beginning, we definitely relied on them to kind of fill in the gaps and do things that maybe we weren't telling them. The stuff would pop up and we were like, oh my God, you know, how long has this been going on? And they're like, oh, that started about 3 months ago. So we're like, okay, starting now, every month on the first, you're taking video of the park, you're taking pictures, and you're sending a list of anything that just doesn't look right. Water leaks, people who are taking their skirting off, maybe somebody's roof is caving in, just anything that looks like, you know, it's not good. We want to know about like immediately.
Right.
So we tried to get more kind of eyes and ears on it, because we're not going and visiting these properties regularly. Some of them we're seeing, you know, once every 3 to 6 months, once a year. So we've tried to, you know, replicate what's it like being there. So I said, I want you to walk with the video camera and kind of pan back and forth, and you'll see they'll kind of try and skip something. I'm like, oh, I know something's bad is there. So really, that's been a big learning lesson, is just hammering home, basically trying to teach them to like be an owner and that kind of independent kind of task management.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Who reviews that video even? I mean, that could even be a 10-hour time suck.
Exactly. So it's been me until recently. So okay. Now my operations guy, he's looking at him too, and I'm still, you know, showing him what to look for, all the little nuances. And so, yeah, it's really just trying to, you know, just get everybody kind of in their lane and their groove and doing what they're good at. So still a work in progress, but I think we've finally kind of got a good foundation really having in place.
Right. Man, that's awesome. One last question before we jump into the final four. Because you are privy to so many deals, like, what have you seen asset pricing in the last 2 years? Has it, I mean, the mobile home park space, we said at the beginning, you know, has generated a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. So where have you seen parks closing at much higher prices and lower cap rates, or where are things going with that right now?
Yep, definitely higher prices, lower cap rates. And even from 2 years ago until now, night and day difference. And even from 6 months ago until now, you know, before occasionally we'd call a park, or you want to buy this thing? Nobody, you know, nobody's calling. And now calling some parks, you're the 10th person this week. I've, you know, met owners in person. They've got a shoebox full of direct mail. And everybody, of course, says, you know, I'll pay cash and close in a week. And they see it and they kind of believe it. So
sure.
Much more competitive to get deals. There's still, you know, good deals out there, but they're typically in that smaller size range. I think it's really tough to get the larger perks just because it's everybody wants. Yeah, we're doing what we can to stand out, flying, meeting owners, but the per pad pricing is definitely creeping up. So we've, you know, negotiated some good ones, sub 10K a pad, but there's a lot of people who are paying, you know, 30K plus, you know, for a mobile home site. So it all depends on the rents and where it's at, but it's definitely month by month, it's definitely creeping up quick.
Gotcha. How are you guys establishing yourselves as better than your competition?
I think just, you know, doing what other people won't. So a lot of people don't want to call because it's uncomfortable. We call 24/7. A lot of people want to sit at home, especially during this last year, because, you know, they didn't. That's kind of what everybody's doing, trying to avoid flying. So like, we're driving. And then when the owners are like, nobody has flown out and made me an offer, you know, a lot of the mom and pop sellers, they don't want to talk any numbers over the phone.
Sure.
And people want to just kind of force that offer, and they want to know, hey, maybe the park is worth 700. I'm going to offer six, but maybe the guy wants 2 million. So they kind of just force that offer, and then their sellers are turned off.
Right.
So all the time I'm kind of traveling across the country, having no idea of what the seller wants. Because nobody else is willing to do that. So we've shown up, and then we don't even talk about the parks. I'll spend like a whole day with the mom and pop owners. We're talking about, you know, fishing, hunting, you know, just anything that they want to talk about. They'll be going on about politics, about the weather. And I just sit, we talk, we listen. And then at the end, they're like, okay, so this is how much we want. And when can you close it? So we're doing just what other people don't want to do.
Right, right. There's the key to success, folks. You just heard it. Do what other people are not willing to do.
That simple.
That's awesome, man. Let's jump into the final four here. If you were to distill everything you know about buying a mobile home park, and you were going to give this advice to an aspiring investor, what is that one piece of advice you'd give?
I think just that, again, just do what other people don't want to do. So when that seller says that nobody's flown or nobody's drove to meet me, you just go and meet them and just do what other people haven't done.
Right. No, that's awesome. When it comes to investing in yourself, what's one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
I think just kind of taking a break from work. It's easy to just go 24/7. So I'm big into fishing. So now I'll just say, hey, 30 minutes a week, I'm going fishing no matter what. If not, I think you burn out if you're just going around the clock.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
Every couple of weeks, I just try and do the simple thing. Just pay for the person in line behind you at Starbucks or whatever. So I keep it super simple. I love doing that and just, you know, hopefully start in the chain. Then they do it. And then, you know, you hope 50 people in a row do it. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. And Jimmy, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
They can go to my website, which is sanddollarcommunities.com, or they can email me, which is jimmy@jimmyjohnson.co. So it's just .co, not .com.
Gotcha. And that's J-I-M-M-Y?
Yep.
Got it. Okay. Jimmy, thanks so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Right back at you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.